This is the national radio broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American leader.
Our greeting is peace. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. what I want to do in within a few minutes is to present Muslims and their relationship with Christians. One religious community in relationship with the other. And there are many, many false ideas about our relationship with Christians. And many, I believe, who read our holy book, the Quran, don't know that the Quran is a kind of a commentary, among other important things, was a kind of a commentary, really, on scriptures in the Bible. And that commentary was revealed to the last prophet, whose name is Muhammad. we find that we are in a time that really is demanding that we know each other better so that we can have these interfaith gatherings as we, like we have right here today, and understand each other, not from just expressing ourselves to each other, but from our scriptures. As the Muslim ultimately has to turn to his scripture for his own identity and for his own purpose in this world, just as a Christian has to do, or a Jew would have to do, because our scriptures represent our light on ourselves and on the world. I want to thank Howard Coleman for his faith and all of us working together in more than just the spiritual way or for spiritual gain, but to solve problems that we have in our community life and work together to promote our community life. He has a lot of faith in that, and I am really grateful to our friend Mr. Howard Coleman for his faith in us. He has already pulled together a team of professionals, and they are doing an excellent job, I think, in making this possible for us to join each other to promote what we need to have a better neighborhood, to have a better town, to have a better world. And business is necessary. I have already, a long time ago, I told my associates in the leadership, I said, our popularity has outgrown our material means. I said, and also, our influence has outgrown our material means. There are many opportunities may open to us now, the cost of the growth of our popularity, our leadership and the community being accepted in the outer society. I said, so we need to look at money as a religious requirement. And that's what it is. It is really a religious requirement that we be producers of material wealth as well as leaders of spiritual life. Getting to the point now, my point for these few minutes. We have our scriptures and we read them, but somehow we overlook very important things that are said in our scripture about the relationship, about our relationship to good Jews and Christians. We see the problems. We live in a world divided, where people divided against one another, and we are sensitive to that, and we are accustomed to hearing what separates us. So when we are reading, even a Muslim with knowledge of the Holy Book, reading the Quran may miss the important message that's in the Quran for our relationship with, I'll say, Christian Jews, Christian and Jews, and others too, but mainly people of the book, Christians and Jews, with whom we have a kinship, because our religion has the same prophets that you have, this, if we understand it, the same purpose on this earth, and that is to serve God for the betterment of the whole of mankind, of all people on the face of this earth. God makes it very clear to us that we have differences. Certainly we have differences. But those differences are not with all the Jews and not with all the Christians. What is made very clear in our holy book is that there are some people who are angered, bitter, and even become hateful, and they are in the religions. These people are in the religions. But there are others who are peace seekers. They are not angered. They are moved by love for mankind, love for God, and love for mankind. They are not bitter. So they are the people that we should identify with. This is not an invitation for all Muslims to embrace all Christians, all Muslims to embrace all Jews. This is an invitation for us to identify who it is among us, among Muslims, among Jews, among Christians, who have that present themselves in the image that God wants for man on this earth. And when we identify them, then we can embrace each other. Now, many are going to continue to be the way they are. I was reading the words of the presenter, Tim presented, and I said, well, I've heard those words, but it's good to hear them again. That you can't change the whole world immediately, but begin with yourself. If you change yourself, maybe then you can influence your family or some family to change, and eventually it should grow and grow and spread to change, and will eventually have effect or impact on the world, perhaps even change the world. Well, I'm satisfied myself to live with the world as it is. The majority are hell-bent. I just want to get with those that are not hell-bent. And we can make a big difference for everybody. Thank you very much. We are not as different as you think. We have one God. We all believe in one God. We all believe in humanity, that God made humans good. We all believe in the intrinsic value of the human beings that God made. And we all want the same future, not only for ourselves or for humanity, but we want the same future for all living things. We want it even for animals. In the time of Muhammad the Prophet, he taught his followers to care about animals, to have feelings for animals. And we know in America that someone just went to jail for abusing an animal. It's in our local papers in Chicago. Yeah. So we are all together, and we can accomplish what we want to accomplish, and because God is in this, and God is going to see us through if we just use everything that's in our reach and in our ability to make it happen. Peace be unto you. Peace. Assalamu alaikum.
We'll return to today's program after this important announcement. Imam Muhammad will be making appearances throughout the country, and those wishing to support his mission of propagation and community assistance are asked to send their contributions made payable to the Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, P.O. Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. And now back to today's program.
He said he made from one nefs. Nefs means soul, and also nefs means person. He made from one nefs. But the understanding that we ought to get firstly is that he made from one soul, not from one flesh. Do you think that God made a perfect man and then chopped him up to make a woman? That's insanity. God made not one flesh man. He made one soul type. And that soul type went from one leader, Adam, into many flesh people. But first it went into one flesh person, and that was his mate. So he made from the one soul mates, male and female. And then from those two, and God says, it's translated in the Quran by the translator who translates it into English, from those twain, he says, meaning from those two, he made or spread all the men and women on the planet Earth. So we believe that we are all one in one human identity, in one human type. All people, if you believe in the religion. And then here comes the political language or ideology of the great visionaries we call the founding fathers, and they give us a language compatible, agreeable with the language in the Quran concerning how we should begin our focus on human life to guide it to community life and progress and a just order. So it is the political language of our founding fathers and others too. It's not limited to America. And the language of our holy sacred books, the Bible and the Quran, that supports the identity we call the human identity in its innocent and pure state as born or created on this planet Earth. Whether or not we relate to each other as family members, racial members, or interracial members. Often when we have a cause to complain of disrespect pushed into our faces, we assert our right to be treated as human beings. I'm human. Respect me as a human being. Isn't that what we say? So that's in our soul. That's in our spirit. That's natural for our soul. Throughout the history of America, many good causes with their good people have shaped our landscape by first reaching us with influences for cultivating America's spirit. America is not a finished product even now. And it was not at all a finished product when we were brought to this land on slave ships. And we signaled a change in the spirit of the people of the New World. Most of that change was for the worse. But with some of the citizens of the New World, that change was for the better. Because they registered upon their souls, upon their hearts, what was being done to Africans and blacks on this continent as something that God did not approve of, and they were white folks. So America's spirit and America's culture is something that was born defected and became even more defected when racism set in. And the victims of that racism, us, having to struggle from slavery and from the absence of cultural identity and from the absence of even national identity. All that was taken away from us in slavery, in the plantation life we call slavery. That was taken away from us. Right now, who can say what nation you came from? You don't know, because it was taken from you in slavery. You were raised as babies after your parents died. You were raised as babies to know nothing but your beginning as slaves on the plantation. So where your life starts, where do I'm you too, I'm you, I'm sometimes I think I'm more you than you are yourself. Where did life start for the people we call African Americans or blacks? It started in slavery. It started without a connection to a nation, except the one that was holding us in bondage, America. It started without a history, except the life we were living as slaves on the plantation. That's where our history started. And I can go on and on and on, telling you how we were thoroughly robbed of all awareness of identity in humanity, in the real population we call the human population of Earth. So this is unusual. This is terribly unusual. In Scripture, it is said human life in community is similar to, quote, plant life, end quote. A remnant of this expression can be seen in language we use today, referring to our lifeline as the family tree. Family tree. And to our beginning in America as a beginning for the grassroots. Grass roots. Now, we use this language politically now, the grassroots. And we've been using it for many decades, or maybe for 100 years or more, the grassroots. It's not foreign to the language of Scripture. In the Bible says, what is the Son of Man but grass? That's in the Bible. I'm giving you the exact quote. What is the Son of Man but grass? Buddy, I know some preachers are listening. They just can't help it. They know I love them. If I were you, Christian preacher, if you never took that as your text or as your subject, next time I got a chance to preach, that would be my text. That would be my subject, the grassroots. Now, something about grass that I'm going to tell you before going further with this presentation. Grass is very flimsy, but it can stand up straight. If it gets too much height, it will kind of lean over. I guess that's it's trying to go on into it tries to go into recul. In the Bible, trying to bend its knee in recognition of submission that it owes to its creator. Oh, yeah. What is the Son of Man but grass? Now, here is what really gave man. seers. Even before prophets, there were seers. Here's what captured their attention when they observed the grass. The grass comes from a seed. And in order for the grass or the seed, the dead seed of the life of the grass preserved in a seed, in order for it to have life again, it has to be buried as a dead thing under the surface of the earth. And when the right conditions come to it, warm enough and moist enough, it opens up to its plan, to its life plan. And it releases its life plan. And it starts showing itself above the surface of the earth to us. And it comes as a little dot. That little blade of grass makes a dot. That's all, just a little dot. But as it pushes up through the dirt, up through the soil, we see a straight blade coming up, like a sword, like a little miniature creature's sword. And it's coming up out of the ground, the sword of truth. It's a double-edged sword that cuts both ways. It cuts the powerful and the weak. It cuts the rich and the poor. It cuts the liar, the outright liar, and the hidden liar. It's a double-edged sword. It cuts both ways. But what makes it so special as a picture in the mind of the thinker is that when it gets up, it doesn't produce a fruit. You can call it a fruit if you like. But it produced a seed. The same thing that was put in there and hid and left there to develop and stand up in its maturity shows you what it was in its beginning when it was dead and holding the formula for its new life. Huh? Yes. It was put in the earth dead, holding the formula for its new life. It was put in as a little seed, a grass seed. And when it matures, what it gives us is grass seed. Now this is the difference between the Son of Man and the Son of the World. The Son of the World won't show you what got you started. The Son of the World won't show you your originality that holds your plan for your future and your future production. Oh, they won't show it. They won't share that with you. But the Son of Man, he will. That's why he's compared to grass. Now, black brother, when you say grassroots, your mind is going to be much more open and much bigger. Yes. Plant life of one kind can impart or send its life out, can impart its life to plant life of another kind by a process called pollination. The life germs are carried upon the wind, hence a likeness to how we humans pass our spirit onto others, other humans, bringing about a change in their life. We put our thinking in our spirit, and we pass our spirit with our thinking to another human being. Huh? And we pollinate for a new life. The life germs occurred upon the wind, hence a likeness to how we humans pass our spirit unto others, bringing about a change in their life. Sometimes this change is so deep, the ones we affect come to feel like we do, smile like we do, laugh like we do, cry with us and cry like we do, hurt like we do, and rejoice with us and rejoice like we do. Sometimes this change is so deep, the ones we affect come to walk like we do, talk like we do, complain like we do, and even look like we do. That's some powerful pollination, isn't it? Racial identity will have little importance in the future of man's life on this planet Earth. We are becoming acquainted with the family of man, or with the concept of human beings in community life that was given to us in our very beginning upon this planet Earth. We were not nations. That came much later. We were not tribes. Even that came later. We were not nationalities. Came later. We were not conscious of our colors and racial identity. That came much, much, much later. Much later. So what is the saying in Scripture? As it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. We are becoming acquainted with the family of man. Muslims identify in Scripture with group Jews and Christians. Many Muslim leaders will agree with this feeling of the author of this presentation, that some Muslims now identify spiritually with members of other religions. Not only other religions that are in the scriptures of Jews, Muslims, Christians, and Muslims, but also those that are in a separate and independent family scriptural context for religious knowledge, as the Buddhists, Hindus, Jains, and many others. We're coming to recognize that we are all one people. Humans. This changing world of one human community, what we call the New World Order, but not politically speaking, humanly speaking, leaves little or no room in it for the holier-than-thou mindset. What these religions have in common with each other, today that is human values, going back to the first identity. To share Earth as our common living space, the future is demanding that we all connect by saluting the identity we call human and embracing man's best idea and perception of our common human values. We will elaborate now on an extended focus for the pleasure appetites.
If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive it in its entirety, you may call 708-862-7733 or visit wdmpublications.com. Ask for catalog number. For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call 708-798-6750 or write Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, P.O. Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.